Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, November 6th. Colorado is still in the early stages of exploring how to create passenger rail from Fort Collins to Pueblo and beyond. The commission studying the issue briefed state lawmakers on Thursday and will ask the state for more money to continue its work. Bensa Berkland has more.
The overall goal is to connect the urban and rural core of Colorado and improve traffic congestion. Pueblo County Commissioner Sal Pace is chairing the commission and says any rail line would need to connect to other transportation hubs, such as downtown Colorado Springs and Denver. He says problems are widespread.
My drive up here this morning is a prime example, and I was on a stretch of the road that had five lanes across. Will we ever have enough capacity?
The commission would spend part of next year establishing a preferred route for the line. The expansive project's biggest hurdle is funding. It would need state, federal, local, and private sector support. Colorado already faces a multi-billion dollar shortfall for transportation. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Harvest time is coming to an end, and that means farmers around the state are planning for the season ahead. For a growing number of farmers, that will mean returning to their roots in an effort to conserve water, skip pesticides, and build healthier soils. It's a biological revolution that's yielding some eye-popping results. Here's part one of a story by Franny Halperin of H2O Radio.
Brendan Rocky is a specialty potato farmer in the San Luis Valley of southern Colorado. On this warm, sunny fall afternoon, he's beaming with pride as I walk with him through his just harvested fields.
I'm really pleased with how it looks out there, and I'm going to be set up very nicely for my potato crop next spring.
It's been a really good year for Rocky Farms. He has three massive warehouses filled top to bottom with fancy potatoes.
We like doing all the fun stuff, the potatoes with flavor, so we go reds and yellows and purples and fingerlings and anything that's a little unique.
His popular potatoes have names like Nicola, Benji, and Harvest Moon, and now they're being cleaned, sorted, and packaged before they ship off to restaurants and grocery stores coast to coast. But things weren't always this rosy. 10 years ago, this area was dry as a bone, which forced Brendan to totally change how he farmed his 500 acres.
Looking back, the drought is one of the best things to ever happen in this valley, because it brought us together as a community and it changed a lot of our farming practices for the positive.
At the time, he was growing barley and potatoes, but with limited water, he had to make a choice.
We simply did not have enough water to grow both of those cash crops. So we decided to put a cover crop in there in place of the barley crop, because the barley crop just wasn't as economically sound.
Cover cropping is a conservation practice that's really taken off over the past decade. It's about growing plants like clover, chickpea, buckwheat, or rye to build healthy productive soils that can suppress weeds, add nutrients as they decompose, and absorb more water. The next year, when he planted his potato crop on that same field, he saw his water use go down. And as he started rotating his fields between cover crops and potatoes, he found that overall, he cut his water use by nearly half.
So right now, I'm using about 12 inches of irrigation each year to grow a potato crop, which is really low. And without the cover crop the year before, I wouldn't be able to farm with that little amount of water.
It's not like the plants suddenly needed less water. It just showed Brendan how much water was going to waste.
You know, so now when I irrigate, I'm able to irrigate a little bit quicker. I put less water on per irrigation, and I can go longer in between irrigations. So I've got a higher infiltration rate. The water goes down right where it belongs. And then once it gets there, my soil does a better job of holding on to that water.
Another impressive benefit of cover crops is that as he enhanced his soil's health, he reduced his dependence on pesticides and fertilizers.
I don't use any chemicals anymore. No pesticides on this farm whatsoever. We're not spraying for weeds. We're not spraying for insects.
Actually, he's trying to bring as many insects onto his farm as possible. In the middle of his potato field, he's planted something he calls a flowering strip.
So we plant a lot of flowers to create habitat for beneficial insects. So they feed off of the flowers, the pollen, and the nectar. That's their food source. I mean, you just walk onto that flower strip and the thing just buzzes.
Those flowers will attract aphids that could potentially threaten his crop. As a matter of fact, he says when inspectors come out to his fields to measure any pesticide levels, he laughs.
I said, you guys have a bigger threat of getting stung by a bee than being exposed to chemical at my farm.
While Brendan's practices may sound innovative, cover cropping isn't new. It's how his grandfather farmed when he bought this property back in 1938.
Back then, they were using these practices because those were the tools that were available. They didn't have these chemicals. They didn't have these synthetic fertilizers. They had to do that to make a living. Then we kind of got fooled somewhere along the lines, thinking all these chemicals and fertilizers were the answer, but in the process, we destroyed our soil.
And stay tuned to tomorrow's KVNF regional newscast. Part two of the H2O radio story features a farmer from the North Fork Valley. In a glance at the high school scoreboard around the listening area, all classes will be in playoff action this weekend on the gridiron. Paonia upset Peyton on Saturday, beating the host Panthers 13-0 in the first round of the 1A state playoffs. Senior Caden Milner ran in from a yard out for the game's first score. Then senior Jaden Miller had a one-yard touchdown run late in the fourth quarter to seal the win for the Eagles. Neither team completed a pass in the game, played on a windswept field in Peyton. Paonia won behind a stout defensive effort, holding Peyton to just 63 yards of offense in the contest. The Eagles got dominant play from both the offensive and defensive lines in the big win. With the victory, Paonia earned the right to host number one Bennett in the second round this Saturday. Bennett is undefeated and beat Highland 48-0 in the first round. The Tigers average 47 points per game. The second round game will be at Paonia Town Park at 1 o'clock on Saturday. The game will mark the sixth year in a row Paonia advanced to the state quarterfinals. In 4A action, Montrose secured a playoff berth with a 49-0 win at Palmer. Hayes Small, Emmert Kastendike, Sam Collins, and Cade Atwood all scored touchdowns for the winners. The Indians finished 7-3 and earned the number 11 seed in the state tournament, playing Friday night at 6th-seeded Pueblo South. And Fruita Monument finished the season undefeated and enters the 4A playoffs with a number 3 seed. The Wildcats host Vista Ridge on Saturday. And finally today, according to a press release, Montrose County Road and Bridge Department will be closing 6075 Road, north of David Road, today on November 6th for a culvert installation. Motorists are advised to use an alternate route, local traffic only. Emergency vehicles may use the field entrance to the east of 6075 Road. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.